What do we pray about? Let me ask you. I want to ask every man, every woman here. What do you pray about? What are the things in your prayer life? You know, many times, like we just did, we have a request when someone's sick. Amen? When someone we care about is sick. And what is our prayer? It's that they get well, right?
Right.
And we don't want to minimize that prayer. We also pray when we have loss of life. When people are grieving. Isn't that right, guys?
Yeah.
And we say, let's pray for this family as they grieve. Because these are very tough times in life. We pray for safe travel. For example, my wife has traveled down to Honduras to be with the church there this weekend. So we certainly pray, God, bring Teresa home safely. Right? We pray for kids, bring mom home safely. And I don't want to minimize any of those prayers. They are very important. The Bible says we're to pray on all occasions for all kinds of things. However, let's read a couple of prayers from the Apostle Paul.
Come on, please.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says here, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He's called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Is that an awesome prayer or not? Guys, what is our prayer life like? See, I don't want to minimize all these other prayers we pray for that really come back to our earthly happiness and our earthly welfare. But I believe today our hearts need to be challenged.
Amen.
And we need to ask ourselves, what am I praying about? Paul here, what did he pray? He prayed, first of all, that we would know God better. How well do you know your God today? I say how well you know your God is directly tied to how much you understand this theme that we're talking about here from last week to this week and the next couple of weeks. The unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
I say it's directly tied,
yep,
into how well we know God. What else does he pray? He prays for us to know the hope to which God has called us. And then he redefines it. The glorious inheritance for the saints. See, the Bible teaches that we're heirs of God. The Bible teaches that we're co-heirs with Christ. Now, we understand what it means to be an heir on earth. Right? We talk about these heiresses that walk around our planet. As soon as their parents pass away, they inherit tons of the green. You with me here?
Yeah.
We know what it means to inherit earthly treasure. Guys, we are co-heirs with Christ. And our Father is God Himself.
Amen.
We are set to inherit all the riches of God's kingdom. Now, if that doesn't fire you up, there's only one reason. You don't know what His riches are.
Yep.
That's the only reason,
yep,
that wouldn't keep you fired up consistently.
That's right, bro.
Is you don't understand true riches and what they are. He then prays that we would know God's power. How powerful is your God? Do you serve a powerful God? Or do you serve a weak God? Do you serve a God where you believe you have big problems and an itsy bitsy God? Or do you have a ginormous God and an itsy bitsy problem?
Amen.
I say, you, we, this world does not understand the power of God.
Yep. Right.
And Paul even has to give us a little example here. What does he say? It's the power he exerted in Christ when he took his dead body and gave it life again.
Yep.
How about that, guys?
Yep. Come on.
That Jesus was dead on the cross, as Anthony and Lisa talked about earlier, that his body fell lifeless, that it laid in a tomb for 3 days, but then God took his body in the process of decay and breathed life back into it.
Come on, man.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you consider that to be powerful?
Come on, sir.
Would you not desire to have that power when your loved one dies? That you could breathe life right back into them if you so chose? We serve a powerful God.
Amen.
You know, Colossians tells us who are Christians here, guys. You with me?
Come on.
That when we're buried with Him in baptism, through our faith in the power of God, it's different from going swimming or taking a bath.
Right.
But through our faith, we have died to ourselves. We are laying under that water, and our sins are ripped away. We're given the Spirit, and we're raised to life.
Yep, right.
And the very wording in that passage is powerful. It says, through your faith, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead is active in your life to wipe your sins away and raise you from the dead. This is what Paul is praying about. That Greg, that Ivana, that Tiffany, right, that Joel could understand and know God and know the hope He's called us to and know the power of our God.
Come on, bro.
Take a look over Ephesians chapter 3.
Come on, Chris.
What do you pray about? How are you feeling this morning, church?
Feeling good, baby.
You're giving us a...
In Ephesians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 14. We'll look at another prayer of Paul, and I'm sure we'll all be challenged. But we won't respond worldly when we're challenged and get quiet like a mouse. We'll respond spiritually and say, Amen, I need to change.
Amen.
Well, that tells you who's worldly and who's spiritual right there. Amen. Ephesians 3:14.
Come on, bro.
Guys, look at the heart of Paul right here. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. That's all of us, guys. Power to do what? To grasp. How wide? And long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Wow. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's another pretty cranking prayer from Paul.
Come on.
What are you going to pray about when you go home today? What are you going to pray about tonight before you go to bed? Now, O Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray that my soul you'll keep. And blah, 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 blah.
Well, come on.
Wow.
Come on.
Guys, that's why the disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us to pray.
Amen.
We've got to pray for our eyes to be open, for the eyes of our heart to be open, that we could know God, that we could know His hope, His glorious riches that He'll give to His heirs, His power, and here, His love.
Yeah.
And see, Paul's got to pray that we'll have power even to grasp His love.
Wow.
I don't think sitting here today as I look at your faces, even the strongest of disciples in this room, much less the weakest, that we have a clue that we've even touched the hem of the garment of how wide and high and deep and long is God's love for you. He loves you so desperately. He cares about you so very much. And you know, again, I don't want to minimize the need to pray for these other things. But they are earthly things.
Yep.
And I believe, guys, when a man or a woman understands who God is, and you understand His power and His love and the hope He has for you, His child, it'll change you. It'll change who you are.
Yep.
You know, our motto in the church in Central New York before we moved here to plant the church was very simple. We desire to know God and to make God known. I think we need to adopt that motto here in the Chicago International Christian Church. Because really, it sums it all up. We, as a church, we desire to know our God. Far too many people out here, guys, have no desire to know God. Last night, my daughter and I were sharing our faith. We reached out to a woman who is an accountant, engaged, waiting to be married, and we're talking to her, trying to get to know her. And my daughter whispered in my ear, "Daddy, Daddy, did you invite her?" I said, "Well, no, honey, I didn't. Do you want to?" Yeah. "Go ahead." So she went over and said, "You want to come to our church?" You know, she talks like a baby sometimes still, even though she's 7. "Would you like to come to our church?" You know. But you know what the woman said? "Oh, no, I don't have time for that stuff. I'm an accountant. I'm working."
Wow.
Our hearts need to go out to this poor woman. This poor woman doesn't know God. She doesn't understand His love, guys. And she doesn't have a desire to. She's never been taught that's where she can truly be loved.
Right.
So we that know God have to make God known. Philemon, chapter 1. And if you can find the book of Philemon, you'll probably do a good job finding chapter 1 because it's the only chapter there is. It's right after Titus and right before Hebrews. Amen?
Amen.
Philemon's chapter 1. Verse 1. And again, this is Paul writing this letter. So we see a little more into the heart of Paul. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy our brother. See, Paul was imprisoned on multiple occasions because of his desire to know God and to make God known. So he's writing here as a prisoner to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. That's what Christians are. We're fellow workers. You can't be a Christian and not work in the Lord's vineyard. You're not a Christian if you're not working in the Lord's vineyard. Our fellow worker to Appy, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Amen. They're having house church. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Paul says, "I always thank my God." That's prayer again, guys. "As I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." See, when you know God's love, you start to truly learn how to love other people.
Wow, that's right. It's true.
See, when you desire to know God and make God known, you desire to know God's love and to make God's love known.
Come on,
you with me here, guys?
Come on.
Going on. Verse 6, "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that others will be saved."
No.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I lost my place. It says, "so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." Guys, Paul prays. Here Philemon could be active in sharing his faith. Now some theologians think, why would Paul write that? Except that maybe Philemon was timid. Maybe he didn't really share his faith like he needed to. And maybe that's just speculation. But Paul was saying, "I pray you will be sharing your faith." So guys, to those of us that are timid here today,
come on.
The Bible says encourage the timid.
Yep.
It doesn't say warn the timid, rebuke the timid, encourage the timid.
Right.
See, the timid desire to know God and desire to make God known.
That's
just afraid.
That's right.
And so I want to say to you who are timid today, I pray you'll be active in sharing your faith.
Come on, bro.
Not just for the people that you'll help convert. But if you're not active in sharing your faith, if you let your fear shut your mouth, your heart will shut down.
Yeah.
And you'll forget every good thing you've been given in Christ.
Come on, bro.
Right. You will forget the unsearchable riches. You won't even begin to search them out.
Yep.
If you're not telling others about them. Isn't that cool?
That's right. That's awesome.
God did it in such a way whereby us helping others, we help ourselves.
Yeah, that's true.
By making God known, we know God.
That's right.
At a deeper level.
Come on.
That's why Revelation says they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
We got to be testifying, guys.
Amen.
When you share about Christ and you share your faith with your friends that you want to bring to church, you're not sharing with them the do's and don'ts of the Bible.
Right?
So often, preaching can be trivialized to the do's and don'ts of the Bible. If that's all it's about, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's about God's power, God's hope, God's love.
Yeah.
And us being able to share that with other people. And when we do, we're like, look what God's done in my life. Here's what God's done. We're like, oh yeah, that's what He did. You start to feel better about who you are. But if we're not talking to people about God, we're just talking about ourselves and our problems and our mess ups and our mistakes. What are you going to be reminded of? Your problems and your mess ups and your mistakes. Guys, here's the key. You've got to get this. This will change your life.
Come on, bro.
I pray you'll be active in sharing your faith so you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ, the unsearchable riches. Verse 7. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Wow. Paul, man, he had some things to say about Philemon.
Yep.
He said, your love, brother, has encouraged me and refreshed all the saints. Who pops into your mind immediately when you think of that? Pat Bouye Sr. pops right in my mind. His love has refreshed me again and again and refreshed the hearts of all of you, hasn't it?
Amen.
You got to ask yourself, is that the kind of man or woman you want to be? Do you want to be known as a brother or sister who not only gives great joy to the spiritual leader, but refreshes the whole church?
Yep.
I want to challenge you.
Amen.
Maybe some of you ought to make that your goal today. I want to be known like Philemon. Not for me, but so people can be refreshed. I don't think Pat does it so he can be popular. He does it out of love for God. Out of his knowledge of God's love, he makes that love known. See, people that don't know God's love tend to be pretty selfish and pretty into themselves. I'm not talking about insecurity, I'm talking about lack of love. When you love people, perfect love drives out fear.
Right.
You can overcome fear.
Yeah.
You can overcome insecurity. Why? Because you say, doggone it, I need to love people.
Right.
Because I've been loved.
Come on.
I think of Teresa, who's in Honduras today. I'm sure she's refreshing the hearts of the saints.
Yep.
Yeah.
And with many of the things you brought to take to the children, they'll be refreshed. I think of Lisa, fellas. About to pop with her little baby up here. You know? And you know, the other day we met out in the burbs to trade kids somehow. I don't know if my kid was going or her kid was coming. I forget. But I think they're in the children's ministry right now, which gives me confidence. Right? Okay. But our boys are best friends, and so we met up to take Justin, I think, and we met at a Burger King out there, and Lisa drives up from work, she comes over, she's just about to have a baby soon, guys, and I say, so what's up? She goes, she mentioned a member of the church, said, they've been begging to get time with me, so I'm going to go spend some time with them, and then I'm going to get with them again tomorrow. I thought, wow. And you know what? I had a hard day that day, a very hard day. And before I drove out of the parking lot, I rolled my window down, looked at Lisa, and tears started to well up. And I just said, sister, I love you. You are so encouraging. I think you, sister, have refreshed the hearts of me and the saints. How many of us can learn from her example?
Come on.
that she's pregnant. I've been told. And I think the women would go, amen. That when you're pregnant, it's like climbing a mountain. That's how tough it is. Right? Physically, the physical equivalent. So you're going to let this woman who's climbing a mountain outgive you?
Wow.
Outlove you? Some of us guys here today, you need to take a deep look at yourself and how selfish you are.
Whoa, come on, Chris.
Come on, bro.
I'm serious, guys.
Lay it out.
Now, I don't want to offend anybody.
Come on.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And some of us have things we're challenged by that cause us to draw in. But I say the love of God will change our souls.
That's right.
And the love of God will heal our minds.
Amen.
And there, the Lord has also given us many people to help us in this life with our challenges. Depression, it's a real issue. But I say the love of God transforms people. And I say, when the love of God and the Spirit of God live in you, you will not be a dark cloud.
Come on, bro. It's true.
And when you are having trouble, you'll be open about the trouble you're having with a desire to change.
That's right.
Come on, bro.
And a desire to be encouraged and a desire to overcome. You won't say, this is who I am, too bad.
Come on.
And if you do, I dare say you're in danger of hell.
Wow.
Because you must not know the love of God. And if you are like that, I want to challenge you. Are you praying on your knees?
Come on.
Yeah. An hour a day. 2 hours a day.
Amen.
God, change me.
Amen.
And make me your life on this earth.
Amen.
Come on, bro.
Tiffany, new sister. That same day, God must have known I was having a rough day. No sooner had Lisa left me, I got a phone call. I don't know that number. Hello? It's Tiffany. I didn't even know she knew my number. Amen. You know what she said? I've just been at McDonald's this morning, and for the last hour I've been talking to a man, sharing my faith. And he told me, I've got a lot of questions about the Bible. And I've gone to priests, and I've gone to other people, and they've not been able to answer my questions. How about that? She said, so I gave him your number and told him you could answer his questions. I said, amen, I'll give him my best shot here. She was sharing her faith. And that refreshed my soul. Look at Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. How we doing?
Come on, bro.
1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
The unsearchable riches of Christ. Man, we're hearing about a lot of them right here. That we get to know the God of the universe. To know His love. And to make it known. If you have forgotten what the benefit is of being in Christ, pay attention to this scripture.
Come on.
Verse 26. So what benefit is there being in Christ? Why should I think these are riches? And these are unsearchable great things and the good things I have. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. Brothers, and I'll say and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise.
Amen.
God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it's written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Amen.
See guys, I'm not standing up here today, I don't have anything to boast in myself about. Except what God has put in me. I know I'm a sinner. And I know the only strength and power I have to help anyone or to answer anyone's questions is what God has given me. I think of myself when I was called. Who I was when I got faith shared with me. When I had Bible studies done with me. You remember who you were?
Oh, yeah.
Were you wise?
No, not stupid.
Were you influential? See, why would anyone come to me or come to you and ask for wisdom? I thought the other day when I was counseling someone, I thought, you know, if all I had to sit here and give you was Chris Broom's opinion, you'd be in a heap of trouble. We can help people. Why? Because we have wisdom from God. Jesus brought us wisdom from God. That led to, and I'll repeat the scripture, led to our righteousness. Were you a righteous woman or a righteous man before you were called?
No.
But the wisdom you learned from studying the Bible, what did it do? It helped you become a righteous man or a righteous woman. It helped you start to become a holy man and a holy woman. And it helped you find redemption. You guys with me over there?
Yeah. Oh.
Before that, you had none of those things. I say add those to the list of unsearchable riches.
Come on. Yep.
The ability to be righteous, the ability to be holy, the ability to be redeemed. Jesus brought us those things. I think of 2 Peter chapter 1 that teaches us we have everything we need for life and godliness. Add that to the list of unsearchable riches.
Yep. Come on.
But let me ask you sitting here today, do you believe you have everything you need for life? And for godliness? Or do you think there's something else you need? If you're sitting there thinking there's something else you need to study the Bible and repent and be baptized.
Yep.
Now if that's just through you and you're thinking I already did that, we got problems. You started to listen to Satan. See, I believe what the Bible says. God's given us everything we need for life.
Right. Amen. Right.
When we start thinking we need something else, we're in trouble.
That's right.
Or we don't know God. Or we don't know the power of our God. Or we don't know the hope. Or we don't know His love. Are you with me?
Come on.
And we start hearing the devil and we start talking about worldly things and we're not talking about those good things. We forget. And we think we're lacking. But I thought Jesus filled everything in every way, and that includes you. And if He fills you in every way, what is it you need? I think you need to know Him better.
Wow. Come on, bro.
I think I need to know Him better. I was talking to Roslyn. You know, Roslyn has been going through some hard times financially. She's been living with the Bouyers for a while. And they took her in.
Amen.
And just this past week, she got a job. It's been a while. And she just got a car.
Yeah.
So in the teacher service, I said to Roslyn, Roslyn, 2 weeks ago, before you had the job in the car, did you have everything you need? And there was a slight pause, but then she said, oh yes.
Wow.
I said, have you missed a meal? Have you missed a place to sleep? Oh no, I was taken in by a wonderful family that has loved me and cared for me.
Yeah.
And that's the Bouyers. So easy to start to think we don't have all we need. I want to encourage you today. You have everything you need for life and godliness right now. And if you doubt that at all, you need to study the Bible.
Amen.
The Word of God. That's why Paul prayed, guys. What was Paul's continual prayer? That I may know Him. What did he say? Everything I have in the world I consider rubbish next to knowing Christ.
Yep. Come on, bro.
And His sufferings and the power of His resurrection. And what were the prayers we read earlier? I prayed that the converts could know You, God. That's what you need more than anything else you think you need. You've got to know God better. You guys with me?
Yeah.
John chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
John chapter 1. Now let's get into some fun Bible study. I say this Bible study will rock your world. John chapter 1.
It's already fun, bro.
The Bible says Jesus brought for us wisdom from God. Where do we get that wisdom, that knowledge? If we don't know God, where should we go? The Bible.
Right.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Well, let's read in John chapter 1, verse 1. It says here, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Okay, let's pause there for a minute. What's the Bible saying here? The Bible's saying, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, here's the Word. And the Word was with God. Here's God. And the Word was God. And then it gives this Word a gender. It says, He was with God in the beginning. So we got the Word, God, the Word is God, and the Word's a He. So who's the He? That's the Word that was with God. That was God. Let's read on. Verse 3. Through Him, the Word, that was with God and was God, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Skip down. Verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Skip down, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth, truth, came through Jesus Christ. How about that, guys?
Come on.
Wow. So who's the Word?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning with God. He was God. And He was also the Word. That means the Bible you hold in your hands, it's not just words on a page. It's the Spirit of God.
Yep.
It's Jesus Christ in written form.
Come on.
Talk about unsearchable riches. The fact that we have a Bible to open and to read and to learn about God and learn about His hope and learn about His riches and learn about His power and learn about His love.
Amen.
That's a rich, riches right there.
Come on.
Are we reading the Bible?
Come on.
Oh my gosh, this sermon's so simple. It's about prayer and Bible study. Absolutely! And the minute we get away from it, we forget about God, we forget about His hope, we forget about His power, we forget about His love, and we don't emanate His love.
Come on, bro. Come on, Chris.
Are you guys with me here? We got to get in the Word. I have two challenges for you today. In closing, two challenges. If we're going to change this world, and if we're going to be changed and not drift away from God, walk away from God, or fall away from God, we got a desire to know God to make Him known.
Amen.
We got to be like Jesus. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Challenge number one. We must be full of grace so that God can fill this place.
Amen.
Look around. We got room to grow, guys.
Yep.
We got more chairs. We haven't even set them all up yet. We got more rooms for the children. Why do we need to grow?
Come on.
So we can do big church, be famous?
No.
Who cares? No. So that God can be famous.
Come on.
So that people can know God's grace. So that we can remember the grace. You know, as Anthony and Lisa were sharing communion, I think of my sin. Sins we committed before we were baptized, but even the sin after. You know, we have the power to change, but we still blow it. We still mess up every single day. So how do we be full of grace, even when you mess up? This last week was very clear for me. Monday to Wednesday, I felt I was doing really well. There were some areas of my life, anger, my eating better, that I was doing really well in. And so I felt confident. Things are going good. But then Wednesday to Saturday, I had some angry times, frustrated times. I was quite ticked off sometimes. And I didn't eat so well. So I'm not feeling as good about that. Right? But, however, to look at these scriptures and understand, God loves me just as much Wednesday to Saturday as He did Monday to Wednesday.
Right. Yep.
God didn't love me more Monday to Wednesday.
Yep.
And love me less Wednesday, Saturday. Because I was blowing it in some things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We must be full of grace.
Amen.
So that God can fill this place.
Come on.
We're supposed to love others as we love ourselves. Problem is, we don't really love ourselves all that well.
Wow.
God's not saying be selfish. That's not what loving yourself means. Loving yourself means treating yourself right. Taking care of yourself.
Yep.
Treating yourself with respect. And helping yourself do the right things. And understand the right things. We got to be full of grace for ourselves first. Now, I'm not saying a license to sin. That's not what I'm saying. See, we're going to sin. God is going to love you just as much when you sin as when you don't.
Right.
Because the Bible says when we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
But it's because of our appreciation for His grace that we don't want to sin.
Yep.
It's because of our understanding that it nailed Jesus' cross. We don't want to do it. But
right.
Have any of you succeeded in never doing it again?
No.
So how are we going to handle ourselves? Are we going to get depressed, discouraged, down? That's exactly what Satan wants you to do.
Right.
We must be full of grace so that God can fill this place.
Yes.
Amen.
The Bible says God fills everything in every way. He needs to start by filling us.
Right.
And He wants to fill you with His grace.
Amen.
You know, later, I want you to go home and read 1 John chapter 1, 5 to 10. Read that and have a quiet time. It talks about light and darkness. It talks about walking in the light versus walking in the darkness. And you know, I want you to get a picture of this. Walking in the light. Think of a room kind of like this. A lot of windows. A lot of sunlight. Now think of darkness. Think of being in a basement. No windows. All dark. That's the picture God wants you to have of walking in the light versus walking in the darkness. We're all going to sin. And when we do, what do we do about it? Well, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So, when we sin, and we got to know what the Bible says sin is. The Bible says if we confess it and get it out and get open, and that's the question. Do we confess our sin or do we hide it?
Question.
Because if we hide it, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want anyone to think badly of us. And then guess who thinks badly of you? You! Satan gets you to be deceived and conceal it and not confess it. And then he makes you think, what a dog you are. You're such a sinner. But the Bible says confess it. James 5 says confess your sins to one another. And pray for each other so you can be healed. When you get open about your sin, just dump it out. You get cleansed. You get free, as Lisa shared earlier in communion. You don't have to walk around burdened, living a double life.
Amen.
And I want to challenge you, if you're in this room today and you're living a double life,
come on.
I'm scared for you. It won't hurt the church near as much as it's going to destroy you.
Yeah.
And those that love you.
Yeah.
Get open about your sin.
Yep.
Stop going back and being a slave again. Be set free. Be open. I confess my sins regularly. When you get those open, man, you feel free, cleansed.
Right.
You take away Satan's only base of operation in your life,
right.
The darkness. If he can get you walking in darkness, you don't. But when you get open, he has no control.
Right.
Say what you want, Satan. I've been open.
That's
Right.
I am who I am. I'm a sinner, but Christ died for me.
Yeah.
And that's the power of God, to walk in the light. We must be full of grace so that God can fill this place.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the game we play as kids in basketball. It's a game we call horse. Right? Somebody shoots the ball, if they make it, you got to shoot the same shot, and if you miss it, you get a letter. H. You get an O, an R. You spell horse. When you spell horse, you're out. I guess horse was a bad animal back then. It was, you know, I don't know. You know, oh, I'm a horse. I'm out. You know? But there's a feature of the game that I learned to play with. It's called the grace shot. You got grace? Yeah, yeah, amen. You get to shoot a shot from the top of the key. It's a great shot. If you make it, you take a letter away. So in this game called horse, if you can attain grace, it's kind of being in Christ. Get that grace shot in the bucket. Right? You're in. Outside, no grace. In Christ, you have grace. In this game, if you have grace, you're still in the game. No grace, game over. Guys, if you don't understand God's grace and extend it to yourself, and we need to learn to extend it to others better in this room. Grace. How about in your marriage? Ladies, is your husband still in the doghouse over something he did a week ago? That's not grace. Look at all the young folks look over to that side of the marriage. Roommate, kids, are your brothers, your sisters, your parents in the doghouse because of something they did that hurt your feelings?
Come on.
We got to be full of grace so God can fill this place. Otherwise, it's game over, guys. Quote I'll give you by Yancey. Yeah, it's a great quote about grace. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more. And there's nothing I can do to make God love me less.
There you go.
Amen.
That's grace.
Yep.
See, there's nothing I can do to make God love me more. I can't go out and do more good works or share my faith more or serve more so God will love me more. And neither can you. God loves you just as much on your worst day as He does on your best.
Come on.
And there's nothing I can do to make God love me less. No amount of sin I can commit where God says, game over. Now, here's where sin will make game over. Hebrews 3:12 says, see to it, brothers, none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another so no one's heart be by sin's deceitfulness, hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So sin will destroy you. Not because it'll make God not love you anymore. It'll harden your heart and make you not love God anymore.
Yep.
And you'll walk away from God or fall away from God. But God loves you just as much and just wishes we confess so our hearts don't harden. We send grace to one another and the lost world. We must be full of grace so that God can fill this place. Psalm 32, verse 11.
Awesome, bro. Come on, Chris.
In Psalm 32, verse 11, let's read together. It says, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart. Isn't that an awesome passage?
Amen.
Let me read you two from the Message version of the Bible, which is like a modern day kind of street translation of the scriptures. Psalm 32:11 says this, celebrate God, sing together, everyone. All you honest hearts, raise the roof. See, when you confess, when you get honest, you celebrate. When you sing Amazing Grace, you really mean it.
Right.
It really fills you. You feel the love of God. and then you're free to raise the roof. Challenge number two. We must be full of truth so that God can raise the roof. Guys, we're going to have an incredible summer. Incredible spring. Let me tell you, people are outside. They want to get outside. They want to talk to people. They've been cooped up for months and they need to talk. I was outside the last couple of days, throwing the football at Austin, kicking the soccer ball at Maria, meeting people in the park. Let me tell you, God wants to save their souls. And as He fills this place with souls that understand His grace, He's going to raise the roof.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Yesterday was a big day in Chicago.
Yep.
We beat out L.A.
Yep. Come on.
For the American 2016 Olympic bid. So, we still got to go against the world cities like Madrid and Rio. That's what some people think are the biggest competition. But if America wins the games, the 2016 Olympic Games will be in Chicago.
Come on.
It was a hard loss for L.A. It was tough. Because they've hosted them twice before. But you know what they said on the news? They said, we wanted to find a place where we could recreate the magic of the Olympic Games. And then they showed a picture of Grant Park and the waterfront in downtown Chicago.
Come on.
That's where we live!
Yeah.
What an awesome city! Look at it over there!
Yeah.
These people are going, man, it's going to take a lot of work to host these games that will come and go and fade in history. We get a chance to raise the roof for eternal purposes.
Right.
We get a chance to build something here. It's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah.
And there's fewer people that see the necessity to do it. They don't see like they do for something like the Olympic Games. We go, oh, the Olympics! Why don't we go, oh, the love of God! Because
right.
We know what the Olympics are. Maybe we don't know well enough.
Come on.
The power and love of our God.
Wow.
It's a sad state that the church is in. When far too many Christians, even true Christians, think more of the do's and don'ts of the Bible than the love and power and hope of our God.
Yeah.
We got to start praying different. We got to start preaching different. You guys with me?
Yeah.
And showing people the truth. John 8, 31, 32. You guys aren't tired yet, are you?
No.
Keep it coming.
John chapter 8. Verse 31. Jesus was full of grace. Far too many people say, Jesus, He was full of grace. He was such a nice man. He was a nice guy. You guys with me here? But He was also full of truth. And for us to be like Jesus, just being full of grace isn't enough. Oh, did you just forgive everybody? No, no, no. There's more to it. We must be full of truth. John 8, 31. To the Jews who believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Are you set free this morning? I'm asking you.
Come on.
And God one day will be asking you, and you alone. Are you set free? The way to be set free, Jesus lays it out right here. You must obey His teachings in the Word to even know the truth. If you're not obeying the teachings of Jesus, you don't even know the truth. And you are not really a disciple. You're not. And you will not be set free. What do we want for people? We want them to be set free. What does God want? He doesn't want to count your sins against you. He wants you to be set free. Don't let Satan deceive you. When we start studying the Bible, people, this is one of the first studies we do. The Word of God. And what do we ask at the end? So are you going to make the Word your standard? Not your feelings. Not your traditions. Not your interpretation that fits into your life. But the Word of God. I dare say some of us are starting to drift because our feelings cause us to make decisions more than the Word of God.
Wow. Amen.
And we've got to get the Word out And we've got to be determined, I'm going to obey Jesus and not my feelings. Because your feelings will deceive you. I'm begging you to understand this. Your feelings, they feel so real, but they are deceptive. And they will lead you astray. And Satan will lead you astray. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 9. It says here, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. Verse 10. And in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Why will people perish, guys? Why will some of us perish? Is if we let sin get in our lives and we don't get open and confess it to brothers and sisters. If we let it drift us away, Hebrews 2 says, therefore we must pay more careful attention to what we've learned so we don't drift away. The Word of God. Whether you're studying the Bible or you've been a Christian 10 years, you've got to pay careful attention to the Word of God. And we perish when we let Satan deceive us, even with counterfeit miracles and wonders that don't go according to the Bible. Why do we perish? Because we refuse to know the truth? Nope. Why do we perish? Look again. Because we refuse to obey the truth? Nope. We perish because we refuse, get me guys, we refuse to love the truth.
Wow.
And be saved. We must be full of truth so that God can raise the roof.
Amen.
Do you love the truth?
Come on.
Because sometimes the truth hurts. You with me, guys?
Yeah.
Sometimes we want to say, how you doing? I'm doing great. Let me show you Scripture. Scripture, you read it and you're like, I'm doing lousy. Yeah, that's the truth. You're not doing great. You're doing lousy. But let me show you another scripture. And that scripture says if you repent, you'll do great. Oh, amen!
Yeah.
Do you love the truth? Do you even know the truth?
Come on.
If you haven't studied the Bible deeply, you don't. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? You're in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God.
Wow.
We have to be men and women who are full of truth.
Amen.
Otherwise, this world will swallow you up. This world will deceive you, get you living as a hypocrite, get you living a double life. And how do you think the kids feel if they see you acting one way at home and then come and watch you sharing so honestly and powerfully from the pulpit? But at home, what happens? This last week I told you I was angry. Let me be more specific. It's just been a tough week. Felt really pushed against the wall. And some tough hits have come. And it made me really frustrated. And then, made it hard for Teresa and I to work together well. And she was flying out to Honduras. That's a tense time. So we weren't doing so good a couple days ago. And it was clear in our house we weren't doing so good. So I said, family, kitchen table. Kids were seeing it. Kids were hearing it. So let's just talk about it in the open. Because I know if my kids think I'm a hypocrite, or see that I'm a hypocrite, game over. So I wanted them to see that the Word is the standard in our family. Not just for them, but for Mommy and Daddy too.
Amen.
So we had a talk right there. Here's the problem. We tried to all be open about what was going on. And I tell you, Austin, he said, can I help? Sure, son. He said, because I really think God's given me a gift of being able to help people resolve things. You know, I think God's given him a gift too. Hardest part is just to do it with ourselves. You know, help resolve things with his sister. Amen. But I tell you, he helped me and Teresa real good. Isn't that the challenge is when it's with ourselves. When you know the truth, you can help other people real good. We got to get better at letting people help us. And Austin really did help us a good bit. Next week, we're going to talk a lot more about the truth. We don't even have time to get into it. But I want you to understand, it's not enough to know the truth. It's not enough to even obey the truth. The only way you won't perish is to love the truth.
Amen.
Even when it hurts. I say one of the riches of God's grace, of riches of Christ that we've been given. One is grace, but one is truth. The very fact that we can build our lives, build our families, and try to build our neighborhoods based on truth. Because the truth will set you free. You with me, guys?
Yeah, I'm with you, bro.
So we must be full of grace so God can fill this place.
Right.
And we must be full of truth so God can raise the roof.
Amen.
My challenge is simply to be like Jesus, full of grace and truth. Let me end with a poem. It's a bit of Old English here. Don't leave yet. I mean, I'm not done. I have a poem. Okay. I found this, and I'm not even sure who the author is. What more can he say than he's already said to you? Who unto Jesus for refuge you fled. In every condition, in sickness and health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth. At home or abroad, on the land or the sea, as my days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathways shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flames shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Our God is with us, guys.
Amen.
Let's be full of grace and truth. Amen.
Yeah, I think maybe you can relate to this. I think the challenging thing for me is just reminding myself about this every day.
Yeah.
Reminding the unsearchable riches that God has poured out in my life every day. And I'm really convicted today. I've just got to know God better.
Come on, bro.
I've got to dig deeper into the Word. I've got to get more of an understanding of who God is. And, you know, I think the other challenge for me was not only loving the truth, but loving grace. Just loving, being graceful to others, as well as being graceful to myself. Because I'm a lot like that. I blow it. And I turn inward instead of really being able to forgive myself and move on. But we need to love the truth. We need to love grace.
Come on, bro.
And Chris, thank you so much.
Amen.
That was awesome.